that is nothing worries him. It will be palpably obvious. And when he said this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, it means that if he's a contractor, he outbid Julius Berger by faith. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Overcoming the world does not mean, you know, Christians overcome only in church. You understand what I'm saying? No, you get to church, there's so much overcoming. It doesn't happen in the office. It does not happen at home. It does not happen in business. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Why is it it's only in church that you're overcoming? When you know the Bible says the victory overcomes what? The church? I've said that, you know, part of the problem of Christianity is that the only people that talk now is good, but it's just we have adjusted to it. The only people that talk are Christians. And I'm so happy this is. I have a lot of friends who are not, did I say who are talk are Christians? Okay, I meant who talk are preachers. Was that what I said? Okay, I wanted to say the only people who talk are preachers. Now, I thank God because I know a lot of people, my friends, associates, colleagues, who now talk and who are not preachers. That is, they organize maybe seminars and talk to young people and they are not preaching to them. They talk about business. They talk about inventions. They talk about making life. That is, because a lot of time we get to church, we think that the pastor's life is a good life. He lives by offering and he's good, he's godly. You understand my point? Pastor will come and say, praise the Lord. Last week I just traveled. I went to Abuja and one brother just called me and said, God said I should give you a car, a brand new E-Class. So the rest of us are waiting for offering of car. Believe me, it won't come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Nobody's going to give you offering of a car. They won't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what God will do for you is that you do an architectural drawing. When they put it before the president, he will see that this is the best. The ones drawn from Israel cannot rank with this. That's what God will do for you. So that he will give you, the federal government will give you a big job. And then you buy an E-Class. Maybe buy two. Give me one. You keep one. You know, it works well. I'm a preacher. You're not. you understand the point I'm going to make? Christians have to understand that. I'm talking about entering into rest. That when we are talking about rest, it's not a church terminology. It's a life terminology. When we are talking about divine health, it's not only when Benihin comes to town. In your house, even when you are sleeping, it's working. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Look, I have little kids, and you know, if you have little children, you will understand how the Lord loves you. You know, I've told that. No, believe what I'm saying. As I respected my father, my earthly father, more after I had a son, I began to respect God more after I got married. So what am I saying? I said, God, is this how I've been treating you? You go say one thing, I go do another. You know, when you marry, you understand what I'm saying. I said, but at least just like my wife, I hope I was also getting better. No, there are things you see in life, you know, it helps you understand God more. You understand me? Okay, now, that's just by the way. Now, the little things that happen in my house, the other day I saw a small rash on my little boy's thigh. So I said, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. And I just prayed to him and said, God, give us wisdom in what to do. What I'm trying to explain is this. To me, that's, the, you know, it starts from there, divine health. You know, maybe one day my wife told me that, I don't know, this. Did you notice that Olubenga's eye is a bit red? He said, okay, I just carry Olubenga. In Jesus' name, this red eye vanished. Maybe, you know, by the wayside. Now, let me tell you this thing. Those little things, they was, you know, now it's a rash. Eh? Tomorrow, what you don't realize is that it has saved your child from a retinoblastoma. Because I saw a pediatrician there, that's why I speak in big English. That is, little things like that. You know, I work in a hospital, all right? You know I'm a pathologist, so I see a lot of things. And every day I jam trouble in the hospital, at work. I see something. I instantly send a word of blessing to my wife, my kids. I do a lot of prostate biopsy examination. So I always send a word of blessing to my father. No, I don't ever forget. No, get my point. On the average, I diagnose 2 cases of prostate cancer every week. So, I mean, it's that plenty. So, anytime I see one, in the name of Jesus Christ, my father is very well, you know, divine. And get my point. it has effect. That's what I'm trying to come to. That is, the word of God affects your life every day. I know I'm digressing from, I was talking about entering into rest. I wanted to just explain that when we are talking about rest, it is palpable. Better than number one. The number two is that when we say victory overcomes the world, I mean that if you do business, you will succeed. That is, God will set your foot or set your feet upon the path that he has created for you to walk in. And in there, you will be the best. You will indeed be the head and not the tail. Do you understand my point? That is, Daniel's faith was manifested in the challenges that he came across. Listen to me what I'm saying. When occultists will gang up against you, remember the testimony of Daniel all the time. The scriptures were written for your learning. I told you this example in the past. That's maybe that's sometime last year. By the time I was coming to Enugu, now I'm a Yoruba man. Enugu is Igbo land. Nigeria was, you know, anybody who has ever gone to Lagos believes that anybody that's not from the East is his enemy. And it's worse when they have never come to the East. Then everybody from the East is their enemy. You understand my point? Now, even after I reached here, one day, one of my professors, when he came to town, he wondered what I was doing in Enugu. They began to explain to me how it is risky, how you should not put investment here. You go to your hometown. When the man finished, I told him that my father's friend was burnt in his own house in our own hometown because of chieftaincy fight. They burnt him and his wife in his own house, in his own hometown. He said, those are exceptions. I'm an exception. You don't understand. My life is an exception. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. But anytime people tell me that, now, let me tell you something about the word of God, the way it works. It affects you subtly that your basic everyday thinking has been affected. Dude, I never could see what they were seeing. And believe me, it's what you believe that will come upon you. I have been blessed and so blessed in this Enugu that I have come to. There are people who have shown me favor just because I'm a Yoruba man. That is like they felt that, you know, you say, me, I don't trust my brother, the Igbo man. Let me trust you, a foreigner. But what was it that brought me, kept me? Because you see, you must always have an answer for your enemies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anytime Satan talked, Jesus had an answer. Turn stone to bread. He said, the Bible, sorry, he didn't say the Bible. He said, it is written. They said, jump down from here. It is written. He told him, I will give you all of this kingdom. It is written, you shall serve the Lord thy God alone. I'm saying all of this to bring out a point. For me, what was written? I said, the Bible says the Egyptians despised the Hebrews. Yet, Joseph became their prime minister. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These things were recorded for our learning. When you go out in life to take over, because God will set you up for challenges. Let me get back to my law example. They will sit down and say, you know you are innocent. That's why your name is innocent. You don't know anything. You are just innocent. You have not been corrupted. Let me show you corruption. There will be a post open. Like Americans will say, on a federal bench. And you will see Ogboni men gather. They will point into that guy is a grand commander of the lodge that is Tabanaku in Oshogbo. They will tell you, this is the grand commander of the lodge in Ado-Ekiti. They will give you the answer. They have all ganged up that man will be their candidate. Whichever way you choose, you are dead. Let me explain what I'm saying. If you turn away, God will kill you. So why don't you just die serving God? Do you understand my point? This is what I'm saying. When such situations arise, remember Daniel. That all the enchanters and every man in town ganged up against him, yet he rose out on top. Don't ever forget that. Listen, the word of God is practical. Let me give another example. It's a very funny one. There's one of the things I teach married women, including my wife, that you see, you know, sometimes I've heard women say that it's a man's world. It's not a man's world. It's the world of anybody that obeys God. Listen, if a woman obeys God, she has authority. Good, let me just put it like this. What gives you authority in life is the amount of kingdom inside you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if God's kingdom is inside you, it automatically translates to authority outside. That's one of the problems that the church had in its teachings. I'm a child of God, I have authority. Listen, what there are amongst children, there are prodigals. They don't have authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Prodigals have no authority. Authority is decided by the amount of kingdom that dwells inside you. Get me what I'm saying? Now, so some people tell you that it's a man's world. It's not a man's world. They say, okay, how come it's what the man says that goes final? I said, because God has ordained that he should have the final word, but doesn't mean it's what he wants that always comes out. What do I mean? I'm talking about giving examples, using the scriptures to bring your life to birth today. A woman, this is what I want to be done. This is the right thing, I believe, I'm persuaded, but my husband says otherwise. Now, if you are indeed a daughter of Sarah, that is one in whom the kingdom of God dwells, it's simple. You make your statement and you leave it, because this is how Sarah did it. Sarah came and said, send this woman away and her son. And what did Abraham say? The Bible said it was grievous in Abraham's, and he said, no. After all, you were the one that started it. Did I tell you I wanted a maid to bear me children? You started it. So Abraham vexed and left, and the woman did not nag. She didn't repeat it. She has made a statement. Day after, the man went and said, don't mind this woman. Gather his friends, I assume. Just a joke, all right? And the women, they want to be tossing you to and fro like the devil. Huh? You know, this is the one that goes to and fro. You know, as he was saying all of that, God just pulled him by ear. Come here. Say, Master, my Lord, what can I do? What do you want me to do? Say, go back and go and obey the thing that your wife told you. What am I saying? The person with kingdom always has authority. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, don't ever blame any human being on earth for your problems. Listen, I've always said it like this, that your enemies are only as strong as your relationship with God is weak. If your adversaries assail against you and they succeed, they know that God is not happy with you. It's very simple. Just like I told you that God himself doesn't do things, he uses men. In the same manner, when it's time for judgment, he also uses people. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when God wants to show you that he is not happy with you, he will start getting people to disappoint you. Then you start grumbling. Men are unreliable. Can you imagine? I give this man 100,000 naira. 5 couple like this I never see. So you think it is a man's wickedness. It is not. It is like God said, I want to take 100,000 naira from your pocket, stingy boy. Bring it. So he won't come by himself. You will trust the 419. You know, you've heard stories of 419 people. The amount of, you know, those guys, is their job. You can't be smart enough to deliver yourself from a 419 man. It's not possible. Because it's his job. He wakes up in the morning to create deception. You don't get what I'm saying. The same way an engineer wake up in the morning and be designing machines that work, a crooked man wakes up in the morning and designing crooked parts. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Only God can deliver you from his hand. Only God. And look, the way God does it, there are diverse ways. But believe me, only God. Because I've heard people say, they said that the 419 people only prey on the greed of people. It's not true. You've not heard enough stories. That's why you're saying that. There are people who are doing normal, intelligent, godly business, and 419 man preys on him. But listen to me. It's just the same principle that I always quote from Ezekiel chapter 7. That I have found, maybe we should read that just in passing. Not Ezekiel, sorry. I wanted to say Ecclesiastes chapter 7. What I want to do is applying it by the sides. It's verse 26. I had discovered more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured. That's what I want to bring out. That is, I have found more dangerous than a number of things. The 419 man wants to collect your money. But one who is pleasing to God will escape from him. I'm talking about the power of God's kingdom inside somebody. Now, what I wanted to preach today, definitely I have to leave it till next time, because what I wanted to emphasize is, how do I get that? Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God. No, I went all this way to be explaining something, that when we are talking about rest, that rest has practical meaning. So in this thing we are saying, we're not saying that there will be peace and joy inside your heart. Meanwhile, anytime you invest money, you lose it. Anytime you go for, what do you call it? Maybe you contest for a job, you lose it. Every day, your shoe is behaving like tire out of alignment. You know what I'm saying? Just wearing that one edge, you can't change it. And you're saying, there is peace in my heart. Look, listen, if it is in hope and in faith, it is fine. But if it's a manifestation of lack of result, no, something has to be changed. Victory overcoming the world means that victory, that is, you will face the world in war, you will face the world in war, and you will overcome them. It means that God plants you inside civil service, and all the Ogboni men, the one fraternity or the other, all the, what we need to talk about, Kaduna Mafia those days, no matter what mafia they're mafiaing, once they challenge you, all of them are gone. That is kingdom. Believe me, you can never plan it. Do you know the number of enemies you have? You don't. And that is a fact about life. Listen, I said before, remember there were some of the tapes we titled A Spiritual Conflict. These are real conflicts. Satan is there trying to take over kingdom so that his own plan might prosper by the hands of men. And the only way, the Bible said, the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I said, the emphasis there is on the lords and the kings. That is, the overcoming of the Lord Jesus Christ is determined by how much his own lords and his kings overcome. It's a matter of war. But I'm explaining to you this, that what came upon Daniel, none of them was within his control. Let me explain that again. You know, a lot of time we look and say that those boys were smart, and they were men of faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel, who decided that he will not stop praying, and they put him in lion's den, that these guys faced the fiery furnace, and they didn't bow. Believe me, friends, it was not a matter of strong boys. Oh. My people have a saying, man will never see war is the one that calls himself strong man. It's a proverb in Yoruba. I use English to speak Yoruba, then my tradition was not correct. That's Yoruba. That is, you never see fight. So you say you are strong. Believe me, many people can't do for your nose and tell me you won't bow. can't do. Not very funny, so. First, some of you grow beer. If I put can't do in your beards, you will contort, not only bow. If they leave an Australian dog, you and him in a dog cage, you will bow. How much more lion? My wife doesn't go out at night when she goes home to her parents' home because of Rottweiler. If they come bring lion, What am I saying? That it was not the strength of those boys. Listen to me, it wasn't. It was that at that point in time, God put a steel rod in their back and said, you can't bow. Try and bow. So you said, go see, I don't give you arthritis. You can't bow. Why? Because they won. They established the kingdom in their hearts. Look, you establish your kingdom peacetime. You know what I mean by peacetime? Nobody builds army when things are tough. That was what Hitler used to overrun Europe. All of them were living in peace. The guy was strengthening his army. So by the time he unleashed war on them, it was too late to resist him. In fact, that was the problem people had with people like Chamberlain, that they were warning him that Germany is strengthening itself. Listen to me, you can only strengthen yourself in peacetime. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That these guys had strengthened themselves during peace. When war came, grace took over. That's what I'm saying. That's what we call grace. that they didn't bow was not... Look, listen. There are things that when you finish doing, you will say, was that me? I always say this. Get my point. Spiritual things are real. There was something I watched one day. I think it was on Discovery or CNN. I can't remember. I think it was Discovery. About this young boy who killed two people. Now, I won't tell the whole story, but to bring out a point. His father was an FBI agent. So when his father, when one man started investigating, they had investigated for years. They didn't know. Finally, somebody now found out some things and traced it to this boy. And then went to talk to the father. Knew that the father was an FBI agent. So the father said he called the boy and told him, did you really do it? Now, this is what I'm coming to. The boy said, daddy, it wasn't me. That wasn't me. That something entered into me and I couldn't help killing those two people. We are going to close now. When they said, the people say it's because he is now remorseful. It's not true. It was a murderous spirit that entered him. In the same manner on the good side, when Jesus was going to the cross, the Bible said angels came and strengthened him. Are you getting the point I'm making? When some good things will be done by your hands, at the end, they will say, what was that you? You say, man, it wasn't me. I saw one man, I read a story of one man once. He was involved in a plane crash. And after the plane finally crashed, landed into a field. People were injured, people were dead. Fire was setting up on one part of the plane. And people managed to rush out to the emergency exits. He said, what I want to tell you now, the press made it sound like a big thing. He said, boy, it wasn't, and I didn't even think about it. He said, as he was going out, he heard a child cry inside the plane. Plane about to catch fire. He said he returned back inside in the darkness, started feeling for the child. And finally picked the child and came out. And they labeled him hero. A man who, at the peril of his life, went to save an infant. The man said, I didn't do anything. I just responded. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, it was not him. That's why Paul said, by the grace of God, I have done all these things that I have done. What am I saying? Go back to our lost story. When the man finally becomes the CJ, you will understand that it was in his innocence, not knowing how to do evil, that God began to fight on his behalf. Then they start telling you that, do you know that this man, Jesus, so he died last week. You won't know that he died for your sake. They'll tell you, this man, do you know about this guy? He had a stroke. You won't know that an angel struck him with a sword for your sake. You won't know that the drink they drank when they ganged up against you was what God poisoned. That all of them started dying one after the other. But this happens while the man sleeps. He said the kingdom of God is like a seed. It's a kingdom. That's what we're talking about. It's a seed that a man plants and he goes to sleep. The earth by itself produces and he himself does not know how. You see why I get bored with prayer meetings of all your enemies. All your enemies. Face this side. The altars raised up against you. You are engaged in an unholy job. Labor, he said, to enter into the rest. Not to fight your enemies. When Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel and he couldn't, don't forget, they were lying down in peace. There was no prayer meeting going on. There was no intercession. There was nothing. The only time they managed to get them was when he told Balak, give them free women. When iniquity entered the camp, then God himself became their enemy. Are you getting my point? Listen, church, what we need as a body of Christ, as a church of God, is for us to indeed be the kingdoms of God amongst men. People tell you that there are so many churches, evil is still thriving. Yes, because as far as God is concerned, a lot of the churches are full of people who are walking right out of the kingdom. Prodigal sons. Being a son is not enough. There are two kinds of sons. There is the prodigal son and there is the son that serves. It is the one that serves that the father will look and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Say, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. Are you getting my point? That is, the kingdom of God is birthed in you. You have no problem. That is, your enemy will rake and rake. You look at him and just continue going. Let me close with this story, just to illustrate it very well. From the life of Smith Wigglesworth. I heard that one day, the man woke up, heard commotion in his house. He came to a sitting room and saw a physical devil causing problem there. He said he hissed and went back to sleep. That I thought it was an important thing that needed my attention. I didn't know it was ordinary devil. What I wanted to preach today, which most likely I'll preach next time, is how do I get into the kingdom? And the word is simple. It said, be born again. No. You say, I'm born again. We'll talk about it next time. People say that, could we be born again before Jesus came? Yes. That before Jesus died. If it wasn't possible, why would he tell a man? Do you think he didn't have his head together? You think his left lobe was in his leg and the right lobe was somewhere else? He knew what he was saying. He said simply, be born again. Then you will see this thing. That is, the entrance into the kingdom is to be born again. And we'll talk about, that's what I wanted to preach today, but I believe that God just wanted to bless us with this word. So it's okay that he has come like that. From there, we'll pick up next time. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you because of the beauty of your word. Because of the great things that you are doing in our lives. Thank you very much. We appreciate your goodness. Thank you so much because you are our hope. You are our inspiration. You are the strength with which you overcome challenges. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ.